This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
I think that was terrible, wasn't it? Do I enunciate at all?
No.
Okay, but people still understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Don't know.
Okay. Last week on the podcast, we spoke about sexting and nudes, Mum.
Last week.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Last week, Mother, we spoke about sexting and nudes on the podcast.
Well, you've developed the lisp.
I have, but it's the only way that I can enunciate. I sort of feel like this is the voice I must do to enunciate. Is that not working for you?
Wow.
We received a text. I received a message today that said
something.
Well, no, something to the effect, because I sent this to Mum. Someone sent me something saying I'd pay a level up in subscription for my Patreon if I could get the same podcast but with one of the hosts edited out. And they said they just want the podcast but with me edited out, so it's just you, Mum. And I feel maybe this is why, this sort of thing. They just want me gone.
Okay. They wouldn't be the same then, would it? It wouldn't be.
No,
it
would
be
at better.
All the same.
It would be better.
But it wouldn't, would it? It would be awful.
Well, do you know what it would be awful? Because of your bloody banging of that microphone. I can hear it moving. Are you moving it as we speak? Don't play with that. Don't play with it. It makes... Oh, God. Right, are you behaving now? Should we start? Because last week on the podcast, I tried to talk to you and give you some reasons as to why one should sext and send nudes, right? And you weren't having it. And you kept talking about cheating and infidelity. So I thought, right, let's just...
I will just stop you and remind you what happened to Otis.
Well, I don't know.
On Sex Education, the series.
The television programme. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Talk to me. What happened?
Well,
is this a spoiler? Should we say spoiler alert?
Yeah, we better not. But if you want to see Otis's Willy on Sex Education, tune in now. That was a public service broadcast.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That sounded like when you ring up that number to tell you what the time is, and they're like, "It is 8:41 now, on the third beat or whatever." You know,
beep.
Yeah. Beep. And you're like, "If you'd like to see Otis Milburn's Willy, tune in now."
Mm.
God, we're both enunciating really well.
So he accidentally shared it with many people.
Oh dear.
And
oh,
this
dear,
is what happens when you take dick pics, dear listener.
Exactly. Your aubergine gets all over the shop. But let's move on, because otherwise I can tell I've written so many questions for you for this episode that we should just get straight into it, because I feel like maybe that was a bit of a primer. In fact, maybe this might be a primer for that episode as well. So go back and listen to the sexting and nuding one if you haven't already. Sexting and nuding. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so let's just get straight into it. Mum, what's the definition of cheating? I sometimes feel like it's good to start with this sort of question.
I would love to know.
Interesting.
Because I think it varies from person to person, doesn't it? It depends what your rules are.
Okay, this is very interesting already. So most people would think, oh, cheating is when, let's say, you're going out with someone or you're married to someone and they shag someone else, right? Or something to that effect. They kiss someone else, you've cheated on them.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. And why not?
No, because now we have other things that you can do which are considered cheating, like sexting.
Maybe some people think isn't as bad as having full-on sex with someone, but maybe it is. If it's been going on long enough, that sort of thing. I mean, there's such a thing as micro-cheating and emotional cheating. Would you put sexting under micro-cheating or
again, it depends on what you find really objectionable, doesn't it, in your own relationship.
Mm.
Lots of people nowadays find emotional relationships much worse than sexual ones.
Mm.
From their point of view, they would rather you just went off for a shag than you went off and fell in love or shared intimate details.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's interesting. So we're talking about some of the micro cheating is like things that, so it's not full on like getting with other people, but you know, people say that maybe if you flirt too much with people, that could be it. You know, liking an attractive person's social media profile or constantly looking up, that sort of thing. But the emotional cheating side is very interesting. That's like you say, creating that emotional bond with someone else that isn't your partner. I know someone and him and his partner, they are in a sort of open relationship, but it's like a don't ask, don't tell policy, right? It's like, go away and do what you want to do, and I don't mind. But like you say, it's purely sexual. They're like, if I come home and I find you watching our favourite TV show with someone sat on the sofa, I will scream. And that is cheating.
That's proper cheating.
Whereas if you are just like, oh, I'm going to be out on Thursday night and I'm not coming home until the next day, I know what's going on, but as long as you're not doing the like cooking dinner together and all that sort of stuff, then that's fine. This is what sort of what I think you're talking about, right?
Mm.
Yeah, people not minding that stuff as much.
Well, some do and some don't they? And
yeah,
it's really fascinating what people arrange between themselves. But more to the point, most people don't have any conversations about this. And so something happens and then they're shocked and horrified. And you're thinking, well, why didn't you have that discussion at some point? Why? How did your partner know? Because things like flirting have traditionally always been a sign of a stable relationship. So if you can, say, go to a party and you both have a bit of a little flirt, but you go home together, that's nice. It just demonstrates your commitment to one another and your ability to flirt safely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, a friend of mine, she told me that she was at a party and her boyfriend was there and they were both chatting to people. And I think maybe someone else was flirting with her boyfriend a bit, or maybe he was chatting to them a bit in that evening. Anyway, my friend and her boyfriend go home together. They're lying in bed and she was like, oh, by the way, you know, when I saw you with that girl tonight, it made me really jealous. And he was like, oh my God, I'm really, really sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to make you jealous. And she was like, no, I'm not angry at you. I'm trying to have sex with you. It's hot. I liked it. So that for her, that like maybe it was like a level of micro cheating or whatever you want to call it. But actually it was like, you know, that was a good thing. That was something she would absolutely tolerate. And if anything, you know, that might be even seen as a positive thing. Mm. So it is true. So this is really interesting. So you think that the couples should talk about these sorts of things that might happen before they do, and basically say what's on and what isn't. So what does that conversation look like?
Well, sometimes people actually come to therapy saying, we've decided we want to make this relationship work. So what do we need to do? And then they have those conversations in therapy, which is great. But there are loads and loads of articles and things and posts around how you discuss the important rules of the relationship. So I don't think anyone's got any excuse these days for not having those conversations, really, but except that they don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it might seem silly and mad, but because I think a lot of people will go, well, obviously that's cheating and obviously that isn't. But like I just gave that example, some things some people would find inexcusable and other things they wouldn't. What I would recommend is there's a book here called Sex and Intimacy by Kate Campbell. wonderful, wonderful writer. In there is there's many pages on infidelity, otherwise known as cheating. And in fact, there is some questions that you can ask your partner, some certain scenarios. So, and examples of what could be seen as cheating. So you could get that book and take a look in there. I mean, let's give an example of some of them that are in the book. Having a friend of the gender and sexuality that interests you, even if you don't have sex with them. Is watching porn cheating? Is having cyber sex with a stranger cheating? Is subscribing to an OnlyFans model cheating? Starting a relationship with an avatar in a video game? I know that's going to be a problem for a lot of people currently playing a game called Baldur's Gate 3. Everyone's talking about shagging all the characters in that.
Oh, your face lit up then.
Yes, it did. I can't wait to get it. I'm going to ask for it for Christmas, so prep yourself for that. Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, Santa.
Well, you know what, actually, again, I know I keep talking about anecdotes. So what do you think of this? Do you think this is cheating? There was a post that was going around online, this is probably a year ago now, where someone had discovered, their girlfriend loved playing The Sims, right? You know, where you create little characters, Sims who go around and they have a house and stuff.
You know what I used to do? I always used to fill up the swimming pool to the brim and take all the stairs out.
All the ladders away.
Yeah, so they'd drown and then there'd be ghosts floating over the swimming pool.
That's true.
Everyone did that, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. That is a classic. I mean, you are insane, but it is a classic. And you wonder where I get it from.
And do you remember Theme Hospital taking out all the loos? So patients had to wee on the floor.
Oh, God. People who know Theme Hospital will think that will love that. Yes. And what a crazy game as well, where people would like heads would expand.
Oh, bloaty heads.
Yeah. I can't believe that you used to play video games.
With you?
I don't actually remember us sitting down and playing these games together.
No, we didn't. I just used to do the bloaty head and make them wee on the floor and things. Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. And it was on your computer that we played them all. Anyway, just basically, this girl played The Sims all the time, and her boyfriend discovered that she had a house in the game and an avatar that looked like her and an avatar that looked like her ex-boyfriend. Yeah, and they were living in a house together and they had kids.
Was this his imagination? Or had she put the avatar in before, in the past?
Well, that's it. And then because a lot of people were saying this and they were thinking, no, but it looked like she had definitely been playing this. According to the story, it was like that save had been, or that autosave or whatever had been going on. It was quite recent. But the thing is, let's say she'd made that save that she really liked when her and her ex-partner were together. You'd want to keep that story. You wouldn't want to just delete all that.
No.
Maybe you would, but you'd be like, oh, I've made so much progress. But it might be a bit weird. I mean, yeah.
Could you change the appearance of the avatar?
I don't think you can that easily on The Sims. Yeah. But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Very, very interesting. I don't know whether you think that is cheating or not. Maybe this is now the time to ask in the comments below. So if you're on Spotify, we'll do a poll. On Instagram, we'll do a poll, all that sort of stuff. On the YouTube, please get in contact. Let us know, is that Sims story cheating or not? Because that is, I think that's
Do we
crazy.
Ever get the results of these polls you do all the time?
I'll tell you what, the one for the Coronation Street one, you know, the song on Coronation Street is putting stuff on a website like OnlyFans. Mm. And is it empowering or not? That is currently, the last time I checked, sat at 100% for yes, it is empowering. OnlyFans can be empowering.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, should we tell the script writers just in case they go off in the wrong direction?
Yeah, we probably should. And say that we've done a very, very big poll of which up to two people have responded to, and they think that it's empowering. So make sure you don't mess this one up.
Yeah.
We absolutely should do that.
Is those two us?
Listen, Mum, I don't think we should talk about the ins and outs of the podcast. You know, just we don't want to let people too far behind the curtain. Okay, why do people cheat in relationships?
Oh, is that a question to me?
What? Who the fuck else am I talking to?
Yeah, the way you approached it, I thought you were going to answer it.
Oh, no, I forgot to say, I should probably stop talking as much. Remember, people don't want me in this podcast. They want you. So when I ask a question, sometimes it might be rhetorical, but in this episode, it's not going to be rhetorical. So what were some of the reasons?
Well, there are loads. I mean, sometimes it's an exit affair to get out of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just, you know, just don't see any problem with having lots of relationships and moving from one person to another all the time. And, you know, having several people on the go at once, not a problem for them. And they haven't had that conversation, presumably with their partners, or they might have done and just not care anyway. They just like sex, and often it makes people feel really empowered to have somebody interested in them and to prove it by having sex with them, so that that makes them feel better about themselves. A very common thing for men is to often have a problem with their primary relationship and to confide in somebody else, often someone at work. And then the person they confide in kind of pushes the relationship a bit further. So that, and then they feel kind of obligated to take it further because this person's sort of saying, well, you've confided in me now and I know all this stuff and, you know, you're not going to dump me now. And then they feel, oh, I've used this person, this will be bad. So they end up in an affair, which they didn't really mean to have. And then,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And that is really, really common, incredibly common.
I can't I just can't believe that. That sounds quite specific, but it's so common. That's crazy.
It is very common. And the thing is that people who do it, they're finding themselves in this situation where they've upset everybody. So they're typically people who are scared of talking to their partner about stuff and particularly about problems in the relationship. So they go outside the relationship to talk about it and then they end up in a worse situation where they've got another person now that they can't talk to. And you can't really go back to your wife and go, oh, and by the way, I'm having this affair and I just don't know how to handle this woman. So that's difficult. Oh, but generally speaking, there could be as many reasons. I mean, just for some people, just opportunity. It's just flattering and they can, so they do. Sometimes people think, well, I haven't had enough experience, and they will go off and do things with somebody else to get the experience that they want to bring back into the primary relationship. They're actually doing it to sort of service the primary relationship.
Yeah, I've heard about, I know people who, to be fair, I don't think anyone's cheated on anyone else, but I think it's been grounds for like why people have broken up, where they've gone, oh, well, I've never had that time in my 20s where I just had loads of sex and stuff. And usually like they'll break up with their partner and then do that for like a month.
Yeah.
If not less, realize it's not all it's cracked up to be, and then get back together with the same person.
Yeah,
I guess
happen.
It's not cheating, but yeah, exactly. But it sounds like similar thing where it's that thing where people feel like they've just lost out on something if they haven't done.
Well,
that.
There is that, but there's also that rather old fashioned thing of people saying, "Well, you know, oh, I don't think I'm very good at sex. I'll get some more experience with somebody else."
And then, if you said that. If a partner said that to you, like, I only had sex with her so I could be better at sex with you. But people say that. And do you believe they genuinely believe that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
amazing.
Some people do. I do think some people do. I think that's going out of style a bit now. But right.
That
was a thing once. And one big reason, of course, is that people are afraid of being found out. So not being found out that they're having an affair, but being found out that they're not the person they appear to be. Or they're afraid of being rejected or abandoned. So they keep more partners around. So that reduces the intimacy with the one that they really like the most. And it also means that if the one they like the most does dump them, they've got a spare around.
God, a spare.
So not many reasons, really.
With that in mind, I rewatched Esther Perel's incredible TED talk where she talks about infidelity. She's a bit, what do we call her, a big therapist, big counselor, big,
yeah,
you know,
big therapist, she's a very petite woman.
Yeah, but you know, I'm talking figuratively big, you know.
Yeah
she has a huge
following.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, it's great. So do go away and watch that because it's amazing. And I guess that's what I want to talk about as well, is that often what she finds in her therapy is this affair and this infidelity isn't about the other person. It's not about the woman that you got with or anything. It's about you. And you've done this for you. There's something about you that you've done. You're trying to recapture something. Maybe things have gone stale in your relationship, whatever. This isn't about, oh, just someone else is better than your current partner. It's because something in you, and so that's what we're talking about. And she says, you know, the things that you should do is not ask those questions, you know, how many times did you have sex? Where did you do it? What did you do? The question you should be asking is, what was she replacing? What does she represent? Why did you, you know, those sorts of things. And I guess that will lead you to what was the reasons this happened and how you can and put those right, I guess, going forward.
Yeah, so lost youth and things like that.
Yeah,
and people so often miss one another. They dismiss their partner's the partner reaching out. So one partner may say, I feel really old and unattractive. And the other one says, don't be ridiculous. And that's all they get. So they've completely dropped the ball there, because this, you know, someone's complaining about something very, very serious and intimate, and they just say, don't be silly. And then wonder why they're talking to someone else about that, or doing something else, which replaces, you know, makes them feel young and attractive again, and wanted and worthwhile.
Yeah, and properly engaging what your partner has to say. I mean, what was that thing? You might be able to tell me this, but there's that thing going around on the internet at the moment as well. It's sort of getting popularized again, but it was that some relationship analyst or something basically identified, you know, the reason why 95% of couples break up, and it was because he analyzed all these couples at some B&B or something and said that the one thing
they all... Is this John Gottman?
I think this is the Gottmeister. And is this where... And he said basically...
At some B&B?
I don't... Listen, we might have to talk... What, are you pissed off? What was it
No,
then?
It's just so funny because he had these flats with cameras in that he... Where they'd install the couple in the flat. And then they, apartments, because it was American.
Right, no,
in these
no,
apartments,
no.
B&B. And they'd... and then they watched them, and they watched their behaviour, and then they extrapolated from their behaviour what he called the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's it. Yes, it is. This is the same thing. Mm. And so one of those horsemen, or basically he was like, this thing is when the couple goes, when one of them goes, oh, look out, and this will trigger you.
Mm.
Look out there. There's a bird in the garden. And the other one goes, and doesn't look up.
Yeah.
And doesn't engage.
Yeah.
It's like, that is when the relationship is going to start to fall down. Whereas what they're doing there, your partner going, look out there, a bird in the garden. They are reaching their hand out and they are saying, here is an olive branch. Like, hold on to it with me. I want to connect with you over this. And if you just go, yeah, then that won't be very good.
Mm.
And that's why now I have to apologize to you, man, because the number of times you've burst into my room in the morning and be like, come on, time to wake up. And then gone, look at a bird in the garden. And I've just sort of moaned.
Yeah, well, that's typical, isn't it?
Also, what was nice during that is, just to prove my point, Mum was on her phone the entire time.
Yep. Right, I'm going to tell you what the four horsemen are.
Oh, okay. We looked it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what this was. Here we go.
Also, I was quite enjoying ignoring you. But for effect, for comic effect.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now he's ignoring me. Stonewalling.
Yeah. Is that what this
one
is?
One of them. criticism, contempt and defensiveness. To avoid an affair, I guess you do want to not engage with the four horsemen, and to think about, I mean, just think about in general how much attention you're paying to your partner and their behaviour, and whether they're constantly making bids for attention that you're rejecting, because then you can't really complain if they sort of find other interests, and whether that turns out to be golf. Or they get a dog or something, or whether they, you know, they become married to their work, or they have a little affair.
Yeah, you can't really complain. You can't really
well,
complain.
You could, really. But,
No, you heard it here first. You can't complain.
Dear. Well, you know, you should, you know, it would help if you paid a bit more attention to the relationship.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
is cheating the end? Because I think for a lot of people that I know, people just go, okay, well, if anyone's cheating in a relationship, you have to just absolutely get rid of them and sack them off straight away. If there's any inkling of anything like that, then the relationship is over. And it's what, and everyone would tell that to their friends as well. If their friend has anything like that happen to them, they're like, well, you've got to get rid of him, like, or get rid of them. You know, it's over. Is that always the case? Is it that cut and dry?
No, of course not. And one of the things that's so difficult about this sort of situation is that when you're talking to your friends, you'll have these conversations over a glass of wine where you say, well, if my partner ever did anything like that, they'd be out the door. Mm. And you say that, but when it actually happens to you, you might feel differently. And some people who say, no, don't be so silly. I would, you know, I'd give them a chance to explain themselves. And sometimes affairs save a relationship. And I would, you know, I would be very grown up about it. When it happens to them, they go, you're gone. And they cut up their socks and things like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And all of that sort of thing. And they really can't bear it. But often people that thought they would be very angry are very angry and hurt, but they don't want to lose that person. But the problem then is, how do they manage that around family and friends who've heard the story that they would always throw somebody out? And then will the family and friends be angry with the partner and it will ruin their relationship and their nights out and Christmas and all of that sort of thing? So what that does is put that person into a sort of isolation tube where they can't tell anybody anything because they're afraid of ruining the relationship with their partner. And then they don't know how to manage it. So they end up doing really, really silly things like insisting that their partner tell them exactly what they did. And they go on and on and on and on and on and on and on saying, there's more, isn't there? You're keeping something back. And that ruins the relationship because while I thought we were really happy, you were having this affair. And then the other partner's saying, but I wasn't thinking about you at all. And I was like, you weren't thinking about me. You know, you can imagine what that's like. So
yeah.
It's really hard. There's no template for how you're going to behave after an affair. And so you don't know what to do or how to do it. And it's so, so difficult to stop asking those questions. And once you've heard things, you can't unhear them again.
Yeah. So is this like, how many times did you do it? And
oh,
where did
what
you
did you do?
It?
Where did you do it? How much did you enjoy it? On a scale of 0 to 10, was she better than me? Was he harder than me? What, you know? Oh, you did that with him, did you? You won't do that with me. All of that. And then you have to try and live with that. And then sometimes that's not possible. So actually what ends the relationship is the way you deal with it afterwards, not the infidelity itself.
I like that. And so you'd say, like, okay, let's say I've been cheated on. I'm just getting into character. That's how I cry.
Don't mock poor people who've been cheated.
I'm not mocking them. I'm sorry. This is how I act. A few episodes ago, you said, "Oh, that was really good. You're a good actor." And I said, "Okay, I'll start acting more then." And I'm giving you my best cry. Mm. And now you're being anyway. You're putting me off. Let me get back into character.
Okay.
Better. Mm. So I've just been cheated on. I obviously want to ask my partner now all these questions like, where were you? How did he do it? Was he harder than me? All that sort of stuff. What should I be doing instead? What should you do? Or because I know you said you might react differently, but is there some good things you could do in the wake of someone cheating on you?
Well, yeah, give yourself some time and space. Right afterwards, people might feel that they can't bear to have the partner around. And so they say, you go away, give me a moment to just recover from the shock. And they may not be best in one another's company at that point. But if they do actually want to continue the relationship, then they need to give it some time and space. So I guess ways of making that time and space are really important, and to have some rules around that time and space. So particularly not to talk endlessly about what happened or what's going to happen in the future, but just to ring fence certain times for that. So you might say no more than an hour a day talking, or no more than half an hour a day talking. Often people have a lot of sex after an affair. They feel very, very close. They have loads of sex and it's really, really good. And they think, okay, we can do this. And then suddenly they don't want to do it anymore, or one of them can't do it anymore. And they just say, no, don't want to touch you. That's normal. That's normal after an affair. That happens to a lot of people. And then they go back into a kind of phase of getting to know one another again. That can happen, that whole process, in the space of days, or it might be months or years even that goes on for. And sometimes people do manage to, you know, they make a decision to keep going. One of the big mistakes people make is to insist on forgiveness, because often that isn't possible, or it's not possible now. And you don't have to forgive. You can say, this was a dreadful thing that happened. I can't forgive it. It's really hurt me, but I'm choosing to give this another crack. That's much more healthy in the long run than saying, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but not really forgiving. I'm really, really resenting and asking loads of questions. And actually, because you don't feel that, because you've forgiven that the partner really understands how awful it's been, what you do is keep on being horrible to them and asking them questions and telling them how bad you feel and how awful they've been. And that actually damages the relationship. So in the end, the partner may say, look, I really wanted to give this a go, but I can't do this anymore.
So then if you do want to stay in that scenario you've given, how do you rebuild? What do you do next?
Well, so don't talk about it all the time. One of the things that a lot of therapists recommend, and it's in a lot of sort of textbooks and things, is to behave as though, if you can, behave as though you it's all fine. Because if you want the relationship to be fine, at some point you are going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to deal with it being fine and you both behaving as if it's fine without constantly referring to it and going back to it. So sometimes people do that for as long as they can. Sometimes people can't manage more than 5 minutes or a minute. But, you know, if you were seeing your therapist weekly, they probably say, try and do it for this week. Try and do it till the next session. And sometimes people come back and they say, actually, that was all right. We can do that. And now we're doing it. So it's behaving as if it's better. And then you can still have your times. I mean, you should, in any case, in a relationship, be checking in with one another regularly and having, you know, times when you talk about how things are going, reviewing things. So that's more important. What can you do? When looking back, what do you think allowed this to happen?
Yeah.
How can you stop that from happening? Because people come to therapy saying, I just want it to be the way it was. No, you don't. That's exactly what you don't want.
Because whatever it was before allowed this to happen.
Exactly. You know, so you want to change it. And you want to give more time to the relationship, to have more time for what you want. And it may be that you need more individual time, that the relationship was stifling and that you need a bit more time to yourselves. Or you need more time as a family, or both of you need to work less, need to have more holidays if you can afford them. You need to spend more time together. I mean, a walk in the park. Sitting down and watching a movie together. Those are things that some people never do. Some people never eat together. That blows my mind. I can't believe that they don't eat together. That's extraordinary. So, but making yourselves feel more like a couple and working out what does make you feel like a couple, what makes you feel intimate, what has happened to the sex? Do you need some help with that? Do you need some help with sex therapy? What's going to make it better? What for you is your idea of a relationship? You know, sometimes you can write down what you expected from a relationship, both of you, and look and compare those things and then say, well, what does that mean to us? Because someone says, I was expecting love and companionship. What love and companionship means to me may not be what love and companionship means to you. So working those things out is quite important, and letting it happen.
Oh, I love this, ma'am. This is great, because, you know, I always said with this podcast, we wanted to make it educational, but also one of those things that you can go with practical advice. So avoid the four horsemen of the apocalypse and go home and talk to your partner about what you think cheating is, but also do what mum said as well and say what you want out of a relationship. Love and companionship, sure, but what does that look like? Maybe it needs to be like a spider diagram. What's one of those ones where it's like relationship in the middle, and then the things you put love as a little thing off, but then what does that mean? So then little branches off that as well. Crikey.
Wow.
That is a That is great. And that way you will never, ever, ever be cheated on ever again.
Oh, listen, guys, if you do one of those diagrams with all that stuff about what you do in your relationship, do let us have a look. Can we put it on the show page?
That would absolutely be good.
Or if it's just for our eyes, then that's absolutely fine. We'd be fascinated to see it anyway.
That works for us. Mm. That works for us. Yeah. Oh, my God. What great fan art. This is our version of fan art. I love it. Please, someone
send us in. Do you know what's quite fun to do as well? You know, if you've got a little box of farm animals, or what I prefer is little action figures, like the things you get for children to play with, like a nurse, a doctor, a fireman, a policeman, a little monster, a genie, you know, all of those things. And get
toys.
Them all up. Yeah, toys, yeah. But little figures, right? Like Bert and Ernie, you know.
Yeah,
Big Bird. So you've got all these figures. And then you say which one your partner is.
Okay.
Or which ones and why. Which one are you? Which one are they? Which one are the children? What's your mum? What's your mum-in-law? And you just talk, and it's a really fun way of talking about what works and doesn't work between you, and noticing people's behaviour and their funny little ways and their needs, particularly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people can make one person consist of several different toys, and that is a really cracking game.
I think, just to say, in mum's study where clients would come, there's a big box of toys in there.
Big box.
And not the ones you think, ones we've just been talking about. And yeah, like you say, filled with Bert and Ellie and all that sort of stuff. All my toys were going missing when I was a kid, and that's where they ended up.
They were my toys. You stole them.
Santa gave them
to
me.
You took my gorilla. Excuse me, you used to go off with my King Kong.
Yeah, the one with the red button in the middle that you press it, went...
Again, its eyes went red.
Is that yours?
Yes.
I was a child. I had to play with toys, not have them all used by your stinky clients. Being like, oh, my husband reminds me of King Kong. He's a big
stinky
bastard.
Apologies to my clients, all of you, everywhere, wherever you are. My poor clients.
I apologize to your clients.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Do let us know what you think. Would you forgive your partner if they had a house in The Sims with an ex-partner of theirs and children that they've been playing for years? Let us know. As I say, the poll will be on our Instagram, and the actual episode on Spotify has the ability to do like a poll thing. So do check that out. Obviously on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, we are at the RSC Pod.
Twitter?
And on, sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter. Ugh, you love Elon Musk, don't you? I bet you love him.
I've seen some of his big space rockets in the flesh.
Excuse me?
I have.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, I went to NASA, didn't I? Yeah.
Oh, that kind of space rocket. Okay. Mm. And on Monday, we'll answer some of the questions you sent into us on our Google form, which, as I say, can be found on the social media channels. We just mentioned all them. We're at the RSC Pod. And by the way, you can also email us as well. We are podcasts@hatchet.com. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to this now, and we'll see you next time for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.